Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. February 22, 2020. Each of us is responsible. Crying to the Creator is only possible from the state called the desert. The desert is an absence of the Creator between us, no feeling of connection with Him. He disappeared, left us, and all we can do is cry, as it is said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. The Creator cares for us to keep revealing new desires to enjoy from our broken desires, and for us to feel ourselves more removed from the goal with each passing day. This is because the desire opposite to our correction keeps rising every day. We have to overcome this egoism when we find ourselves more and more removed from the goal, losing strength and understanding, falling into despair. All this advancement goes against our common sense. How is it possible that the more we advance, the further away we find ourselves? But all of this works in accordance with the structure of the spiritual path, Tzuf. The greater the egoistic desire, the more removed from the goal we feel. But the more we overcome egoism and rise above it with the intention to bestow, the closer we are to the goal. Two opposites in one. Thus, one does not understand what is happening and falls under the power of one's mood. This is hard work that pulls us in two different directions. But we must persevere, each time strengthening our resolve with our eyes closed, diving into the group, and advancing this way. Every time I find myself removed from spirituality, meaning distanced from the group, I must get closer to it, which means to get closer to the Creator. This is the only way to conquer our evil inclination that is rising day by day. The way I conquer it is not by using my own strength but by turning to the Creator. The first problem is that the evil keeps becoming greater each time. The second is that I cannot directly fight this growing egoism with my own strength. I must turn to the Creator, whom I do not see, for help. To turn to the Creator is only possible through the group. Thus, we must constantly raise the importance of the friends, the group, and continue integrating in them more and more. There are several important milestones along the way that will indirectly manifest in us on their own. We need to scrutinize, strengthen our resolve, and rise above our mind and feelings. Of utmost importance here is not to give up in this war, not to retreat or despair. The cry to the Creator has to be a common cry. That is the difference between religion and the science of Kabbalah. Within a religious framework, everyone can cry to the Creator and believe that it will help. And it does, psychologically. But if one truly wants to turn to the Creator, such an approach is only possible through the right system, through a kli, through love of others, by creating the common soul of Adam HaRishon. We will be pushed further away from the ten every time. We will have the feelings of neglect toward the friends, our own weakness, hopelessness, and, in general, the meaninglessness of this work. Yesterday for several minutes it was possible to connect to my friends and the Creator, to tie myself together with the group and with the Creator. While today it all seems unreal and meaningless to me. But if I truly want to reveal the Creator and the purpose of creation, if I anchor myself to the truth, then the truth is above my nature, faith is above knowledge, meaning bestowal above reception. Thus, it is only possible to reach it through exercises like the constant hardening of the heart that manifests itself in the inability to connect in the ten, to build the spiritual part Tzuf into the ten Sephirot, the soul. I am constantly pushed back so that I can make another difficult step forward toward unity. This is how I advance toward the truth. And if today I don't feel that it is more difficult to connect with the group, then I am not advancing toward the goal. Therefore, it is said, the opinion of the Torah differs from that of the people. People cannot advance in the system when each step becomes harder and harder. This goes against logic and common sense. How can it be that I move forward and it becomes harder and harder for me day by day? The connection becomes more unbearable, as if I am being punished for this work. How can this be advancement? But this indeed is so, and the opinion of the Torah, meaning advancement with the help of the light that reforms, is opposite to the opinion of people. People receive new understanding, feelings, and assurances. Here we see a reverse process. A Kabbalist must lower himself to the level of Shimon from the market in order to rise to the height of the end of correction. We must cherish each friend, but without invading his personality or thoughts, without scrutinizing what is happening to him. We must reassure each person, creating a group atmosphere of concern for all, not anyone individually, but for the whole ten. Mutual guarantee is a field we create with ten kelim, ten friends. No one has anything individually. But this is what makes us strong, because we want the common strength to be built from nothing. This strength cannot be granted to us, not even by the Creator. Only together can we create this power of mutual guarantee. This is what we have to ask for and demand. Let the upper light help us by giving us the strength of support in the group. The power of support is called mutual guarantee. This is how we assure the group and all of its members that we will not escape, but that we will always be in mutual care, because this is what everyone builds their hopes on for the future. This is what the spiritual part Suf of Ten Sefirot will be built on, the soul. This is why we have been given a state of despair, where we have nothing, so that we can start building our connection from it, our safety belt, the mutual guarantee. It belongs to us because the upper light will come according to our efforts, dressed in them, giving us the power of the mutual guarantee and uniting us in a ten. Then it will be a ten, and we will begin building our part Suf, the soul. Each of us is responsible for the whole Kli of Adam HaRishon. This is the law of working in the perfect system, in spirituality, until the tiniest element, the very last desire, is corrected, the whole Kli is uncorrected. This is what is meant by there is no partial work in spirituality. We must remember that. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, February 5, 2020, Common Outcry to the Creator, Preparation for the Convention in Desert. My thoughts on Twitter, the 22nd of February 2020. Kabbalah doesn't instruct us to annul the animate egoism, which allows the organism to exist like with animals. It is against egoism that's aimed at hatred, at using and suppressing others. This is a quality only that man has. It's this egoism that is opposite to spirituality. Scientists: the melting icebergs are caused by internal processes at the planetary core. This destroys all the made-up ecological propaganda. Our battle shouldn't be against parties, but against the egoism that's common to all of us. Upbringing that is not against others, but against our egoism, will save the planet. The AU summit on the budget concluded with no result. The common negotiations are only showing the differences in positions. The egoism of every EU member state is being exposed more and more, as well as the impossibility for the whole EU to think as one whole. The period of semi-disintegration has ended with England's exit. Total disintegration is soon to come. The only way to acquire the will to bestow is to turn to the Creator with a request to give me that which I have no desire for, but wish to desire. This aspiration to the quality of bestowal is just what I lack. Then comes my request for the Creator to fill this will to bestow with His light. Attaining the Creator comes from attaining the difference between the black quality of our nature of reception, egoism, and the white quality of the Creator's bestowal, altruism. In order to attain the whole of the Creator, our egoism has to be revealed more and more, and to the degree that it obeys, we can feel the quality of the Creator. Just as we cannot distinguish anything in the white light unless we write our sensations on it in black letters, so in spirituality we need to pay attention to the black letters of our egoism on the white background of the Creator's light for the sake of unity of all forces of nature, the Creator. Only in being opposite to Him do we attain Him. The whole of nature that the Creator has made consists of two opposite qualities in each object being studied, This is how all the connections between all parts and characteristics of the world were organized. This is the foundation of the entire creation. Baha'u'llah, only from the attainment of contradictions and opposites in striving to bring them into a single system do we build the Creator within us. Revealing contradictions in the governance enables us to rejoice at the efforts to unite the opposites for the sake of unity of all forces of nature, the Creator. We have to attain hatred and rejection in order to attain closeness and love. The most important thing is the attainment of unity between opposites. In the measure of the distance between those who aspire to the Creator will their unity grow. In the measure of the hatred between them will love be revealed. Thus, by taking turns between rejection and unity, in the left and right lines, they will advance toward the Creator in the middle line. Spiritual acquisition question: how can one advance on the spiritual ladder practically? What is spiritual acquisition? We learn that Kabbalah is practical work in a ten, but where is that sensation? Answer: in the ten. By trying to unite into one point at the center of the ten, you enter the state that we call spiritual. Out of ten different qualities, efforts toward unification into a single point, all these qualities, by uniting into one, sum up into what we call the Creator. The instant you reach this and sense that you are in contact with the upper force, you immediately start feeling how you diverge from that central point in the circle, move further away from each other. You distrust, hate, reject, and don't understand each other. Naturally, your Creator disappears in this as well. And again you have to come together and try to unite. But this will be at the next level. And again you will reach the point of unity and will feel the Creator, his more internal qualities, in it. It will be the second level of attainment already, and so on. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 12, 2020. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, December 1, 2019. Question: how can my thought become like a bridge that connects me and the source of everything, the Creator? Generally, how can a thought make contact with the Creator without attaining him? Answer: I am within the Creator. There is none else beside him, means that everything I do, say and think now comes from him, passes through me, while I can only realize that all of this is done by the Creator. Question: what are the disturbances in perceiving the uniqueness of the upper governing force? Answer: what we call disturbances are not disturbances, instead, they are help from above, and I must overcome my inaccuracies, doubts, and delusions, and aim myself precisely toward the Creator. This is the right direction, which I am given in this way. Question: is there a direct, easy, and pleasant way to reach the Creator? Answer: it is through the group, through studying together with everyone. This is a relatively easy way. Question: why didn't the Creator create a system without suffering where we would be satisfied with pleasure, would become bored, and then come to him? Answer: tried to go that way. Who is stopping you? The Creator did not create suffering. Suffering is created by your egoism, which wants to get everything now and for free. Question: if the Creator is in a state of absolute rest, what do we call his state when he wanted to create the creation? Answer: all of this is outside the framework of time. This speaks solely about energy levels. The wisdom of Kabbalah describes only this. Question: if in a lesson I am holding my entire ten in my thoughts, does this connect us more? Answer: in everything that you do, you should try to include the ten in your thoughts. With that, at any given moment, you will be connected with the Creator. Question: what is egoism? Answer: egoism is when I am not thinking about the ten or the Creator. Question: can I assume that the upper governance, which is exhausting me, will ultimately lead me to a good end? Answer: I do not think that the upper governance is exhausting you. You are the one who is running around and exhausting yourself. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 1, 2019. New Life Number 1187. The Desire for a Perfect Life.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaela Shadael. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about our desire to live a perfect life. Everyone has this desire for everything to be perfect, whole, complete, great. We'd like to understand, is it possible? Be with us. Yaela, please. Yeah, we're all familiar with it. Everyone has this picture in their head of what their perfect life looks like. And a person tries to achieve that perfect picture his entire life. And the times of Facebook, mobile phones, we're even more familiar with it. We always send only our good pictures, that God forbid there's no picture with some flaw or something. Really? Completely. Only good. We send only our pictures from abroad where we're happy with our family, our good moments. You don't send anything else. When you go on Facebook, you have a feeling that everyone's having a ball. Everyone besides you. This is what everyone feels. And if to externalize it, it's like people doing plastic surgery, changing different things in order to look perfect and to feel perfect, both towards myself and also towards everyone else. And on this show, we'd really like to understand, where does our desire for perfection come from, and why are we not willing to deal with our shortcomings, our flaws, but trying to straighten everything out all the time for things to look good? So the question is, why do we have this inner desire for perfection, wholeness and perfection? Yeah, but it's a kind of a false, lowly perfection. But we really do have a desire for perfection and wholeness. The only question is, what does it really mean? And this is what we have to pay attention to. Someone feels perfect, whole and perfect, by being the greatest, biggest criminal, that he's not caught for committing crimes all day long. And for someone else, maybe for him, to be successful as being a doctor, healing everyone. For someone else, maybe it's being rich. Everyone looks for their own kind of perfection. And there are those that say, my perfection, for me perfection is to lay on the couch and do nothing. That I'm all the time in a state where I don't want anything. And I have everything because I don't want anything. So, for different people, it's different. Completely. Okay, so, let's talk about the desire itself. The desire for perfection. Where does it come from? From within? From inside the person? It's from a person's will to receive, from the desire to receive pleasure. What do people want to enjoy? There are six kinds of criteria. Three of them are bodily ones that are called food, sex, and family. And three of them are human or social ones that are called wealth, meaning money, respect, meaning control, and knowledge. And so we have these six criteria in which everyone can actually see themselves. If a person's in food, sex, and family, then it's like a beast on the animate level that everyone wants to also have that and to succeed at it. And there are those that have bigger desires, greater desires for money, honor, and knowledge. That also depends on different things. Culture, education, a person's inner development, psychological development, technological. Everything is included in these three other inclinations. But still, there's this inner desire for everything to be perfect, that nothing will be lacking from this picture, that there will be no black stain in my perfect picture. Right. A person wants that. I want to have whatever I want. Right now, for example, I have an inclination for food, sex, and family. Then this is what I want. To have that, that's it. Along with it, a person might also want control. Wants to be a scientist or something. He wants for his deficiencies to be whole and complete. Look, everyone wants for their children to be perfect, wife to be perfect, for his home to be perfect. Where does this desire come from? For life to be perfect. We know that life isn't perfect, but still we have this desire. It comes from the upper force. We come from the uppermost force in nature, which is whole and complete, perfect. And therefore, we want fulfillment, only we don't know which, but we want that state. So, you're saying that what? Through these different inclinations, like we've mentioned, food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, or money, respect, knowledge, we think that by that we can reach wholeness and perfection. You're talking about wholeness and perfection. I have an inclination towards it. I want it. But what is that perfection? I don't know. So this is my next question. Does a person have this inner understanding, even if it's an unconscious one, of what is he aspiring for, of what is this perfection? No, because we learn about these things from the world around us. I look at you, you have something that I like. I want it too. It's like little children. He's holding a toy. He sees someone else holding a toy. He wants to take that toy away too. So give him yours. No, I want both. That's how we learn. At younger age, you're not really familiar with life. But later on, as you mature, you start understanding that there's no perfection in life. Life isn't perfect. It's because you cannot achieve it. This is why you give up. But on the inside, if it'll be given to you, and you won't have to pay for it in any way, neither by effort, nor money, nor anything, sure you'll agree. Okay, today, I think it was always important, but today, with the social media and everything, it's much more important for people to show others that my life's perfect. Meaning, I'll always take my best photos and my best moments, and I'll put that on my Facebook page, on Instagram, wherever. And this is how each of us presents a kind of false image of themselves, as if their entire life's sugar. But once you move from their Facebook page to their real life, it's not sugar at all. But everyone acts out as if everything is perfect. Why do we have such a strong desire to show that our life is perfect? I want to feel proud over others. I want for them to envy me. I want to be better than others. The main thing is my ego. You know, I'm willing to practically eat nothing and to be satisfied with really little things, but I want to show others that I'm a special person and so on, because my strength, my power is in food, sex, family, respect. You see what level respect's on? A person, he can't give that up. See what's going on in mankind. All the different collisions between nations, armies, everything. What is there about it? What do you want from each other like little children? That's respect, honor. Yeah, but behind it, there's this general social aspiration for perfection. We want to show that we're better than them. This is how it is with each and every nation. This is what every nation thinks. The ego, the pride of a nation, the pride of a country, the pride of the government of a certain person. This is the big problem, that we don't know how to deal with it. Do you know how much we waste money and time on it? Energy, plenty, yeah. I can tell you as a woman that a large part of it is, you know, it's about looking good. Today women are having plenty of surgeries. I can't exactly remember. I think it's in the third place after the military and medicine. The third place is cosmetics in terms of the world revenue. Yeah. I want to talk about the flaws, the shortcomings, because we want to show a perfect picture. It's like a shirt with a stain. You won't wear a shirt with a stain because it kind of like stains you. And it's the same with us, with our deficiencies, whether it's something external, like wrinkles, or something internal. We behave as though we're perfect. You know, everyone tries to be the nicest and okay. And if you have inner flaws, characteristics that aren't that great, you don't really show them. It's only at home that you allow yourself to be that way, obviously, but not on the outside. Why? Respect? It's all about respect, all of it. But what do we have besides that? What do we have besides that? The ego. What does it demand of a person all the time? To be no less than others. Comparing myself to others, this is called respect. Okay, so you're saying that inside us there is this built-in component, which is the ego, that does not allow us to work in any other way? Yeah, we can't give that up because it erases my personality, it erases my life, my existence. Then there's no point to exist altogether. If I'm so lowly, ignoble, then they degrade me to the level of a beast, and a beast is no longer a human being, so I give everything up. But why doesn't society accept flaws as if we're demanded to be perfect? It's like you said that society awakens that in us on purpose. It's called national pride, family pride, pride of your city, of your society, village, pride all the time. And where is that in relation to perfection? There is no perfection in it because I'm all the time lacking. Because everyone else seems to me well off all the time and I'm not. And then that awakens in me the desire to also show that my life's perfect. Yeah? And there's competition all the time. And I never feel neither satiation nor tranquility. So, this is my next question, the way you see it. A realistic approach towards life, does it direct the person to aspire for a perfect life or to say, no, there's no such thing as a perfect life? What's more realistic? It doesn't matter what a person says. Our egoistic nature, our ego that's developing in each and every one of us will not allow us to calm down. It won't. And so what follows is that we're running all the time, trying to be more and greater in something at least, until we grow old and there we become tired and we as if give up, as if. Previously you talked about the inner desire that we have to equalize with the Creator, with some kind of wholeness and perfection, where we reach some kind of understanding of perfection, if I understood you correctly. The question is it realistic to aspire for perfection? You know, perfection is something different for everyone. I want to be Schwarzenegger, and someone else wants to be Einstein, and someone else something else. It's all subjective. Of course, there is no perfection. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, perfection is something else. What is it? My perfection is that I reach a state where I complete my place in mankind. And this is very non-simple, that I, with all that I am, I have to complete and bring all of mankind to a whole perfect and complete degree, meaning to help all of mankind, support everyone as much as possible. And then, when I'm taken up with that, I'm called whole, perfect, complete. And do I experience perfection there? Yes, because if I really want to bring mankind to wholeness and perfection, in that I feel that I can be the upper force's partner, and the upper force is wholeness and completion. Where am I then? I unite with him and attaining that same goal. And then what happens to me? I merit to become his partner. Do I feel the experience of wholeness and perfection? Yes. Then I do. Actually, I do. They don't yet, but I do. What does a person really want to feel? He says, I want to feel perfection, but he doesn't want a car. This is what he wants. And he attains it by connecting with the upper force. That's called whole, perfect, and complete. And then man too is called whole, perfect, and complete because he becomes annulled in the upper force, and together with the upper force performs an act of wholeness and perfection. So the upper force acts through man himself. So just to see if I get it, all the desires that we have for perfection, for wholeness, whether it's for my soccer team to win or for me to be Schwarzenegger or to have a great car, perfect kids, perfect wife, everyone has a picture of what perfect for them is. But you're saying that behind all that, there's a different desire, a different lack that a person has. He wants to be adhered to the whole and perfect. I myself can never be perfect, but to be adhered to the whole and perfect, the one that realizes perfection, that can be whole, perfect, complete, that will perform an act of wholeness and perfection due to what I ask of him, then I will also be called whole, perfect, complete. He does the action, but I'm the one who invites it, asks for it, for all of mankind. And perfection there is felt as joy? Of course. What could be more whole and perfect? In this state, what does a person feel? What is he lacking? He lacks nothing besides seeing everyone in perfection, wanting to bring them to that. And he doesn't mind anything else, no matter what happens to him, and also nothing can happen to him. But he only wants to see them in wholeness and perfection and acts only in that direction. Okay, up until now we talked about people and how respect, pride drives them to show that their life's perfect, even though that it isn't. But in nature, we live in nature, there are people, animals, plants, but still, in nature, is there such a thing as a perfect life? Nature? Yeah, the system of nature that we live in. No. And this is due to man. Sorry for adding, but if you already asked, what do you mean? Because man's to blame for the entire picture of nature, that it is the way it is. If man corrects himself and would like to see nature in perfection, in its perfect form, then everything will move in the direction of perfection, and man will see it on all levels. Let's take man out of the equation a second. Nature without man, before he corrupts everything. Oh, there is no such thing, but... Okay, sorry. Suppose. Nature without man in it, is it whole and complete? Is it perfect? I don't know what to say, because that doesn't exist. Everything that we talk about, we talk in regard to man's perception. But suppose so, yeah. In a kind of distorted way, but suppose. So nature without man, meaning were man not a part of nature? Yeah. Right now, the still, the vegetative, the animate, which is usually what we consider as nature. One way or another, they eat each other, use each other, but you want to ask, to what extent is man the cause of all of this, that this is how they treat each other? First, I want to understand the picture, and then maybe understand where is man in this picture. And there's still the vegetative, animate, and man. And man determines all the relationships and everything that happens in the still vegetative and the animate. Can you explain a bit? Because it seems... it's like you're giving man tremendous power over the system of creation. But this is how it is, as it says, that man is in everything, that man has the greatest ego that includes all of reality. And therefore, according to how man treats those that are like him, or the still vegetative and animate, the levels beneath them, this is how they are. This is how they seem. Were a man not to relate this way to the still, the vegetative, and the animate, then the still, the vegetative, and the animate wouldn't exist altogether. Sorry for confusing you. And there wouldn't have been these bad relations between them like we see. So, because of man, that is actually destroying everything around him in nature, therefore in nature there's no perfection too. So, man's life isn't perfect, even though that he wants to show that everything is. Around him, in nature, things aren't perfect either. So, there's no perfection anywhere. But in every person, there's this inner inclination, desire for a perfect life. And you said the following about what perfection is, that when a person reaches a state where he completes, supplements his place in mankind, this makes his life perfect, because his exalted goal in life is to make everyone else's life perfect. Yeah. Okay. Suppose someone succeeds at that and makes everyone's life around him perfect. All mankind. Yeah. What is a perfect life then? What is mankind living a perfect life? What are we aspiring for? It doesn't depend on a single person wanting for things to be perfect. Right, it's a more comprehensive kind of development. So let's depict this state where mankind's living a perfect life. Life is whole and perfect. What is that like? Because we don't know what that is. We have no example for something like that, but everyone dreams about it. You're dreaming incorrectly. Right, that's the problem. The problem is that we don't understand what a whole and perfect life is. Life can be whole and perfect, not where I receive everything, because then it'll never exist in anyone. What do you mean? Because I always compare myself to others. Right, that's the respect you talked about. Yeah, and in general. Therefore, a whole and perfect life can only be in the very opposite. Not in the direction where I have more and more. But that I won't receive anything. But that I'll be filled with a desire for the abundance to pass through me and for it to fulfill everyone, that they will experience a whole and perfect fulfillment for whatever they want. And then, what exists in them then? The same inclination, that they don't need anything, but for the abundance to pass through them to everyone, and for everyone to be fulfilled. And then no one wants anything for themselves, but only to fulfill others. And then we come to a whole and perfect state, where everyone is in a special kind of correction, and everyone enjoys the whole and perfect life, and the world is full of plenty and abundance, and nothing's missing. And only this way. And if you look at it as a model where you want to create or arrange this kind of game, then you have no other solution or way to reach wholeness and perfection, but only where no one receives anything for themselves, but enjoys passing the entire wholeness, perfection, fulfillment, abundance and plenty to everyone else. How is this picture related to the concept of joy and happiness? This is called joy and happiness. My joy and happiness is in fulfilling everyone else. There is no other or greater happiness. This is what fulfills me, makes me complete. I fulfill everyone, and everyone enjoys. And they do the same. How do I deal with the matter of respect that you talked about previously? Have respect, what do you mean? I'm fulfilling everyone. But we said that what man actually wants is to be more than everyone. I am more than everyone. I'm fulfilling them. So there is a kind of flipping our values also, because if until now I wanted to have more, you have more than everyone. You're fulfilling everyone. All the abundance passes through you. Only you don't need it for yourself. You're so whole and perfect that you don't need it for yourself even. You give it to everyone. What gives me this feeling of wholeness and perfection? That you're fulfilling everyone. What is it about it, about fulfilling others, that eventually gives me self-respect? Self-respect. I'm fulfilling everyone. I'm the mother of the entire world. So why aren't we acting this way today? You don't want to. Why not? Ask yourself. You don't want to. Because then I'll be a sucker. Don't look at others. You reach this wholeness and perfection. That's it. Why look at others that still haven't reached it? So, what I feel you're saying is that this flow of abundance through me, making sure that others will have plenty, this is actually what gives this feeling. Eventually, it's a feeling. Yeah? It's a feeling. It is. So this is what will allow me to feel whole and perfect? Yeah. Last question, because our time's up. Time's flying when you're having fun. Okay, so last question. A person's aspiration for a whole and perfect life, is it realistic? It is, if we'll really want to realize it. This is exactly what the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks of, how to realize the aspiration for being whole, perfect, and complete, and to really see myself as the one bringing wholeness and perfection to everyone, that there is no greater perfection than that. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.